Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hello, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave and I have a good program lined up for you today. Fascinating. Get your pen and paper out. Get ready to take some notes. We're going to be talking about who is God.
I see you have here about five questions that you want to answer.
Yeah.
Is that going to be hard?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's not easy. The Bible gives us a lot of information, and it tells us a lot of things, but as usual, you have to put your thinking cap on and try to say fully and clearly, what does it mean? The quotes that I have from a Bible, I always use the King James Version, and you know, sometimes that can be a little bit more difficult to understand than the newer translations. But that seems to be the one, the translations that the people most recognize.
Well, come on, why don't we take them one at a time? You take one, right. I'll take the next one.
All right.
And you take the, see how far we get.
Very good.
Okay.
All right, well, let's look at this. Who is God? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That's a reading from Exodus. Chapter 3, verse 14. And God spake all of these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which thou hast brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That reading comes from Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, reads that way. So there are many sayings of who God is. David, do you have any thoughts that you'd like to share in that arena and exactly who is God?
I was looking already at the next question to see if I could answer it.
All right.
Where did God come from?
Okay.
Well, that is a big question. Do you ever think about where God came from and who is he? You had the first question, and it was who is God? And
yeah, there's a lot to be said about that.
And I'm letting you say it.
All right. Well, I want to share some other thoughts before we leave that completely. Isaiah chapter 43 has some fascinating words to say about who is God. Ye are my witness, saith the Lord, my servant who I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So that's Isaiah 43, telling us right out who God is. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God.
Giff, I'm sorry, I'm being facetious with you.
Sure, it's okay.
sometimes I just grab something and I just say, hey, give that to Giff. You don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, but I understand.
Let me just jump in here so that I can be a part and
very good.
Ask you for forgiveness.
All right.
You forgive me?
Oh, I forgive you, David. Yes, we are human.
In the beginning was the Word.
Okay.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Who's God? Yeah. Man, that's a big sentence.
That's right.
Sorry.
It's okay. Well, that's important, though. I mean, that answers the question of who is God. But to us, there is but one God, the Father of all things, and we in him and they in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 reads that way. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that all in heaven and that in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn and the dead. In all things he might have preeminence. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. You see, they're all trying to answer, who is God? And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is author of the fountains of water of life. Revelation chapter 21. So there's a lot of ways to find out exactly who is God. And what does the Bible tell us? Rather than us trying to come up with our own definitions, we were taking words right out of the scriptures to try to respond to that question, who is God?
And I'm going to do the same.
Okay.
With the next question. It says, where did God come from? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's John's Gospel.
Yes,
incredible book. Without father, without mother, without descent, without neither beginnings or the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created. Where did God come from? For him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All these were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things he might have preeminence. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he had laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. Where did God come from? Big, 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 big question.
Yes, it is.
And you have to go to the Bible. 80 million copies of printed... 180 million copies are printed every year, and you ought to be able to find one somewhere that you could read. And the Bible will tell you how it started in the beginning. Where did God come from? Yeah. All right?
You did an excellent job of that. Thank you, Dave. That is exactly right. Is it all those scripture readings that Dave shared with you are right at your fingertips, and you can read them for yourself. How old is God? There's a question for you, Dave.
Wow.
How old is God? Well, what's the Bible say? But the Lord shall endure forever. Psalms chapter 9 says that. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalms 90, that means just forever. I interpret that to mean for absolutely forever. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. I said, O my God, take me not away from the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. That's a reading from Psalms chapter 102. David, you have any thoughts on how old is God?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, well, there's some readings in the Bible that try to respond to that. I didn't know if you had any of those in your hip pocket or not. I have a couple of more here if you want me to share them.
Go ahead.
I remember reading this one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's a reading from John chapter 1, the first two verses. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. John chapter 8, verse 58 says just that. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians chapter 1. Dave, we used that verse in one of our programs not so long ago. So that must be significant when we start using these verses for multiple definitions. To me, Colossians is very powerful. That's why I look to that area of the Bible for a lot of answers to these questions. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I think everyone knows that came out of Revelations. Yeah,
that's all these scriptures. All the scriptures that we're given today. Yeah. If people have never read the Bible, they're in trouble. They're saying, what are those guys talking about?
They don't know these answers. Yeah,
that's tragic not to go to church and know these because God is here forever. Destruction's going to come before that. There's going to be a rapture of the church, and those who go up are going to enjoy millions of years in heaven. And if you don't, you got to go to hell, and there's no getting out of that. You're there forever, too. And which is better? Do you have to answer that? My goodness, when you begin to read the Bible and see what it says and answer some of the questions that are asked, you begin to say, wow, I better get with it. I better go get me a Bible off the shelf. I better take an hour a day and see if I can put something into my heart that will draw me closer to the Lord and prepare me for the future. This is preparation for the future. We don't even know what we're doing. If we don't know how important this is. The Holy Spirit, which we've been asking to help us, would tell you, you better listen to these guys.
Yeah.
They got some answers that are going to be for you and your family, for your husband. You need to get some of this so in the supper table, you can ask your husband a good question. Ask him, hey, how old is God?
Yes.
He could have a hard time answering that unless he knows the Bible.
Unless he's
and
read
you can
it.
Step
yes.
up and say, hey, I did a little bit of reading today,
yeah.
and I found out how old God is. He's from the beginning to the end.
Yes.
There's no end to who God is. And we as a family, we better get in with the church. We better get listening to the preacher. We better read the Bible. If the Lord would come this week, where would you spend eternity? That's a big question that has a Holy Spirit answer.
That's right. That's right.
I'm jumping in on your question, so you can jump in on mine.
That's okay. We were talking earlier, Dave, about how, you know, members of our family or biological families or our church families and those who have passed and how they had a major influence on our lives. Well, you realize that's our job now to pass on to the next generation exactly the thoughts that you were sharing. If we don't get it done so that people understand how all of these pieces of the puzzle fit together, it won't get done. It'll be lost. It'll be forgotten. And that's no way to raise a family. You can't raise a family on just three verses of Scripture. You have to understand the entire picture. And that's why we tackle some of these hard subjects. It's very difficult to try to explain that to somebody. How old is God? And why is that important? Well, it is important. And we need to fully understand that the entire God concept is 100% of everything. Not just Earth, but the entire universe. And in fact, all of the universes. Scientifically, let's face it, we're discovering new universes. That was in the news this winter. Scientists uncovered a new universe. It's like saying I found a new Milky Way.
Wow.
I mean, that's fabulous.
It is.
How big is this good old world that we live in, this universe that we live in, everything? We cannot stretch our imaginations to understand just how big it is. All created by the hand of God.
That opens up a lot of questions for families who are sitting at the table wondering what the world to talk about.
Yeah.
You get tired of talking about the news. You get tired of talking about all of the government and its problems.
Yeah.
It's refreshing to talk even a sentence like, how old is God?
Yes.
Where did he come from? What is he going to do with us who have never been forgiven of our sins? If you laugh at God and you sin and you don't even care about it, You know, there's an answer to that.
Yes.
Will God judge us for never asking him to forgive us of our sins?
That's right. That's a good question to ask.
I will. Here's what he said.
Okay.
I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Isaiah said it so well. He talks about it in his book. Chapter 13 is a chapter you cannot afford to just push aside and say, I don't want to talk about that. The children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. That's from the Bible. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's for those who never make heaven. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. And in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to the gospel. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Man, Paul knew what he was talking about.
He sure
did. When he wrote Galatians chapter 6. So, how many times a week do we ask God to forgive us
That's
of our
right.
sins?
Yeah, we can't do it enough.
That's right.
We can't do it enough because we try to be perfect. We try to be straight. We try to follow all of them. But you know something? We always come up short. There's no one that's perfect.
Even in the prayer for supper.
Yeah.
You get to the table and you're not sure what you're going to talk about. Talk about it in your prayer. You know, if you don't pray for your food, even pigs grunt before they eat.
Yeah.
So why don't we say a prayer? Why don't we, our family would be stunned to hear you say, hey, God, we love you. Thankful for the food.
Yes.
Blessed are our bodies and help our conversation tonight at this table in Jesus' name. That's the way to grow a family.
That's a powerful prayer. Yes, it is.
Man. I think I'm all right with that question. You can have the next one. It's a good
Very
one, too.
Good. What angers God? Wow. Well, you know, we were brave enough to try to tackle that last week, talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's try to look at this one and see what we come up with. Ye shall not go after other gods of the God of the people which are around you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. That's a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. 1 Kings chapter 11 reads that way. And there was a burnt incense in all of the high places, as did the heathens whom the Lord carried away before them, and brought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger, for they serve idols, whereof the Lord has said unto them, ye shall not do these things. 2 Kings chapter 17. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Psalms chapter 7, verse 11 reads that way. So yes, God can be angered, can't he?
Look at the next question.
All right.
It'll grab you by the throat. What does God say about the person who does not believe that he even exists?
Ooh, well, that's a good one. Right. I mean, what'd you find on that
one? You can talk to everybody in the world, whoever you touch, and ask them if they believe in God. Someone will tell you for sure, I don't believe he even exists. And then the Old Testament and the New. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrites' hope shall perish. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalms is full of that kind of talk.
Yes.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Who said that? The fool.
The fools, yeah.
They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. He that believeth in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not, that's it, not, condemned, he's condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Man.
Ooh, that's powerful.
We're going to become preachers if we keep talking like that.
I know. Hey, that's what it is. What does God say about the person who doesn't believe he exists? The Bible answers that question for you. Right there it is. That was a good one, Dave. You must have done a lot of research on that one.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hey, I have one of those kinds of issues that I'd like to talk about here for a minute. How does God feel about premarital or extramarital sex? Isn't that a good question to ask?
That's good for you, Gift. Oh, go for it.
Oh. Well, that's always a tough one when you start talking about those kinds of issues. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old times, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh at a woman and to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. You know what that means, Dave? It means it's just about 99.99999% of the guys have committed adultery. Because what guy hasn't looked at a pretty lady, particularly in her younger days, and said, oh my, isn't she attractive and she's beautiful? Well, haven't we all thought that? I don't know that we're any different to one another. So we have to be careful that we don't allow that thought process to expand in our own minds and to be something that's unclean. Watch and pray that ye do not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26, verse 41. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother to be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such as one cannot eat. Well, that's an awkward way of saying it, but that's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, reads that way. In other words, all of these shortcomings that you might associate with the opposite sex, no matter what tag you put onto them, can become sinful if you allow it to stretch into your mind. But if they cannot contain them, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. If any man thinketh that he behaved himself uncommonly towards his virgin, if she passes the flower of her age, and needs so required, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Nevertheless, he shall stand steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart, that he will keep his virgin, doth well. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, verse 36, and verse 37. There's a lot of temptation there, a lot to read and try to absorb. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you for being tempted above that ye are able. But ye with that temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In other words, you're going to be human, and you might let these things pass through your minds, but don't let them get carried away. It's the old adage that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from building a nest on your hair. In other words, these thoughts are going to happen, but don't let them get carried away. David, we've exhausted our time once again. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
I'm amazed that we went through 15 questions.
Yeah, yes.
Isn't that amazing? We could talk about and give the answers.
Well, we try our best.
The Bible says, then shall he say also unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. What a way to end this program. God is going to punish people for their sin. Don't ever forget it. When you're sinning the rest of this day doing what you please, you're going to be held accountable, and God will take care of you in the end. Have a great day. Dave Cloninger here. I'll be the first to say goodbye.
So long for now. Bye-bye.